Hi, everybody. This is Joanne Flash Fleming, and the show is Flash Talks Cash, the show about money, how to make it, how to spend it, how to save it, and what to do with it when you get it. We're coming to you from heritageradionetwork.com. I want to thank the station for having us with this off premiere show on this station, and we're looking forward to a happy time together. Today, we're going to be broadcasting every Thursday on the heritageradionetwork.com from 4:30 to 5 o'clock each and every Thursday. If you can't tune in live, we're available on archives, and you can also download a free podcast off of iTunes. Today, our show is sponsored by the Hearst Ranch. This is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com. H-E-A-R-S-T-R-A-N-C-H. Sounds good, doesn't it, Andrew?
Yes.
Wouldn't mind having a steak from them.
How about an introduction for me?
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Besides Flash Fleming, we have my co-host, Andrew Newman. Sometimes he could be, my co-host might be the Invisible Man. But today, Andrew decided to show up.
I'm sorry, I was late. Let me apologize.
So Andrew is my son, in addition to being my co-host. And he's going to help us get through today's show, which is, has the recession made you an entrepreneur? And we're going to tell you what you could do about it. Actually, you could turn it into a very positive situation. Andrew has firsthand experience.
The recession didn't make me an entrepreneur. That was you.
Okay, but before we go there, let me just tell my audience that they can call in during the show. And we'll take the calls. You can call 718-497-2128. Or you can email a question or a comment to info@heritagenetwork.com. For the next half hour, there'll be somebody taking your calls or taking your emails. And we'll be happy to chat with you. So Andrew is going to complain about the fact that he became an entrepreneur reluctantly. But we're not going to go there. So first, we're going to talk about when you get the opportunity. Let's make it a very positive. When you get the opportunity to become self-employed because you're no longer collecting a paycheck from the boss lady or boss man. What do you do?
I actually took a week off personally.
Right. I think you should.
I complained a lot about my boss who fired me.
All right.
Unceremoniously. It was a horrible scene. And then I tried to get unemployment, but they fought me tooth and nail. And it was an ugly, ugly scene. And then a couple weeks later, I got up, said, I need to make some money. And I went out there and I started picking up clients.
Well, that's exactly what a healthy person does. So they go out and they said, okay, I got to make a living. You know, unemployment is okay. It's not for everybody.
And it is helpful. It's a nice little cushion.
It's called the safety net. The government puts it out there so in case you can't find a job. But in the meantime, you know, you go out and you muster up some energy and you go find some new business. Now, the standard is somebody who lost a job working for the boss man would probably try to find work that they used to do for the boss man on their own.
Yes.
Right. That's the standard, which is fine. That works because you're experienced and you have a background in that. That makes sense. But then there's also the other entrepreneur who says, I've always wanted to do XYZ, and here's an opportunity for me to do blah, blah, blah.
Well,
everybody's
your passion,
different.
Well, your dreams?
Yeah, right. In this case, I got a radio show. You know, I used to be an accountant. Now I'm talking radio. So what I want to talk about is what you do after you get off the couch and you decide, okay, I've got to make a living. So how do I do this?
Well, how do you do it?
Well, the first thing you got to figure out is what you want to do. Once you figure out what you want to do, I can't help you with that. You got to figure out what you want to do. What's going to help you make a living? You got to make a living. It's very noble to not work for anything, for nothing. But that doesn't really work, especially when you need to pay your rent, right?
I'd assume so.
You start,
I was going to call you, but...
So you start with, okay, I'm going to be... I'll use an example. I'm going to be...
Why don't you just use me?
Well, we can use Andrew. So Andrew is going to be an accountant because he used to work for me. Let the people know.
I prefer the term bookkeeper.
Okay. Let the people know. He used to work for me.
I did used to work for you, Joanne. Flash, sorry. And as I said earlier, okay. Unceremoniously fired by my mother.
You don't want to go there. So then he decides to be a bookkeeper for his own clients. And so you go out there and you form a company, right?
No.
Well, you should.
Why?
Well, you decide what you want to do.
Well, I decided to just keep going freelance.
So
what's the benefit of forming a company then?
Okay, then this is the deal. There's a difference between being a freelancer and an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And a freelancer operates on, I'm just going to fill in this space and make money until I get my next job. An entrepreneur says, I'm going to turn this into my own business. You understand the concept, the difference?
I understand the concept, but so, I've been doing this for 2 years now.
Okay.
So am I an entrepreneur or am I a freelancer?
It sounds to me like you're an entrepreneur. So you'll set up your business. In your case, you set up as a sole proprietor, a very simple form. You just started working and you didn't form a corporation or an LLC. And obviously you didn't form a partnership because you need two or more people to form a partnership. And it was only you. So you went and formed a sole proprietorship. You're operating as a sole proprietorship, which is fine. You could have formed a corporation, which people often want to do that because they want to protect their other assets from their business. You know, in this litigious society, I hate to say, but sometimes people get sued. Not that often, but people get sued for doing a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have some assets, you know, if you own a home or you have a savings account or an investment account or something, you might want to protect it. If you're married, you might want to protect your spouse's assets. So you form a corporation or an LLC.
Go for it.
In a case where you don't have any assets to protect, it's very simple to just operate as a sole proprietor and maintain. It's all the same in the end. The deductions are the same. The treatment of the business is the same. It's just a different form, and it gives you a little bit of legal protection.
Of course.
Yeah. And it costs a little bit of money to form.
It does.
Yeah. And if you have money to get started, you should visit an accountant or a lawyer to figure out what works best for you. There's different options for different people for different scenarios. So there's no one size fits all.
Of course.
Right. So after you've figured out that you're going to be a sole proprietor, right?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, he's a sole proprietor. Now he needs to know how to market your business.
Oh, I'm marketing now?
Well, you have to find clients, right?
I need clients first before I can market.
Well, no.
I had no money when I was...
well, that's a key component of this whole discussion. So you have to figure out how to market yourself. Sometimes it doesn't cost any money.
No, word of mouth is the way I go.
Well, word of mouth worked for you, but sometimes you might have to spend some money. And sometimes you just have to do networking as far as marketing goes. But you have to treat yourself, your new business, as a real business, okay? That's the point. And you have to market and network and get clients or get customers or figure out how to make your product, whatever it is that you're doing, right?
Of course.
But you have to treat it as a real business. It's no longer just something to do on the side to fill in a few hours.
Not at all. You
got to get serious and focus, because if you put a lot of energy and focus into it, you might actually be a success. If you put a little bit of effort and a little bit of part-time energy in it, you're going to have a part-time kind of outcome.
Part-time kind of income too.
Yeah, part-time income comes with part-time outcome. Output, I mean.
Output.
Output.
Okay.
Another thing that is a big, big question. Big, big question. Every new entrepreneur and freelancer wants to know, what do I do about medical insurance?
I don't have medical insurance. Oh, you still have my medical insurance,
so,
right?
Is that part
of the show here? Is that part of my pay package?
The point is, what do I do about medical insurance? It's expensive, yes. If you want to really launch your business and be a success, bite the bullet. Get medical insurance.
I feel like you're jumping around here, Flash.
I'm just telling you some of the things you're going to...
right from forming the business to getting medical insurance. What about the in-between where you actually get clients? I talked about marketing. Oh, marketing.
Right. So, but that's a big question. I'm telling you, some of the big, big questions that people ask is, what do I do about medical insurance? You could go without medical insurance, and people do that. But the ultimate, the end, you could get COBRA from your former job. Or you go buy medical insurance. Don't be afraid to buy medical insurance. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't let that stop you from pursuing your dream to open your own business and live your dream.
So don't go for a regular job and give up on your dream.
That's what I think. Just for medical insurance.
People do that?
Well, you know, I think that even people might
get... No way!
People probably get married for medical insurance purposes.
I have heard of that.
But it's
different.
Okay, well...
You actually enjoy being with the person.
In my opinion, I'm just giving you my opinion today. My opinion, you need to take a serious look at your business and say, all right, I'm in this. I'm serious. I'm dedicated to this. I'm going to buy my own medical insurance. Don't let that stop you, okay? That's one thing. Another thing you got to talk about is if you hire employees.
Indeed.
Or freelancers.
Okay.
Freelancers are, you don't pay the taxes. Employees, you pay the taxes. It's not really a choice. If you're up to that point, you really should get good advice to figure out what it is that you should do. It's an expensive endeavor, but the ultimate outcome should be employees should make you more profitable. They're going to make you earn more money. If your employees are not making you more profitable and they just cost you money, you don't have either the right employee or you're not ready for an employee. Okay?
Yeah, I'm at that point right now myself.
Well, so you have to decide if they're going to be an employee. You got to pay the payroll taxes. You got to get disability insurance. You got to get workers' comp. You're a legitimate business. You got to bubble, what's the word?
I don't know what you're going with
what
here.
What
are you trying to do?
You got to say, all right, I'm serious. I'm going to do this. I got to do this. Belly up to the bar and pay for the insurance.
That's what you're looking for? That's
belly
what you're
stuck up on. To the bar. So you got to operate like a real business person. And you have to hire your employees and pay them weekly or whatever it is and pay their insurance and pay the taxes.
But isn't that an issue then you have to offer them health insurance?
Well,
isn't that a catch 22 right there?
Well, that's another story. You can have different scenarios.
Well, you started with health insurance and you went to employees. Now I'm bringing up the okay. I'm putting them together here, Flash, for a question. But
you're making it tough for me. Let's go to those questions
it tough
later.
For you.
Let's go to those questions later. Here's another big question. Should I rent an office or should I operate out of the house?
Operate out of the
okay.
house.
Well, that's not everybody's answer. That's Andrew's answer.
That's the best answer.
But some people don't need to operate out of the house. Can't operate out of the
down.
House. Yeah, but some people need to go out and have a real office for other reasons. They don't have room in their house. They have little children. Or it's just not practical. So you have to decide. You can get a home office deduction.
Indeed.
You take a piece of your rent and a piece of your utilities. Or if you own a home, a piece of your mortgage and some of your utilities and repairs and maintenance. And you get to deduct that on your business return if you operate out of the house. People in New York are notorious. They're famous for taking a 300 square foot studio and telling me that their 80% of the studio is their home office and they only sleep in the bed and they don't even use the kitchen that's used as a file room. So anyway.
I have seen that.
Yeah, we've all heard that and seen it in New York. It is possible, but it's not practical. And it's not, if you're operating in a 300 square foot studio and you're 80% of it is your home office, I really think you should go get an office.
Well, I think it's a different step in the process there. Maybe once they're making enough money, they could do something like that. But
right. Well, maybe
the person likes living that kind of lifestyle.
I'm just talking about when you get serious about really being a businesswoman, a man, an entrepreneur, you're serious, you're going to have to spend money. Here's the key thing. You got to spend money to make money. And you got to look professional. You can't invite clients to your 300 square foot studio with a futon in the middle of the room and have the refrigerator be the file cabinet. It's not going to look good. So you just have to be practical when and everybody's situation is different. And you're not going to come out of the gate with all of these things. You do this gradually, slowly. But these are the questions that people ask when it's time to launch their business. Now, the last thing I want to talk about launching this business is sales tax. A lot of people sell a product or service, and they have to collect and remit sales tax.
I don't do that.
Well, that's your business. But if you have a little restaurant or a catering company, you're going to have to pay sales tax. And sales tax is serious business. Don't mess with the sales tax people. Don't undercut people, other companies, because you're not collecting sales tax. It's going to wind you, get
undercut
you in trouble.
Other companies?
Well, I mean, watch this. Oh, well, if you sell shirts, let's say you sell shirts out of your house,
right,
and you sell the same shirts that Macy's sells. Well, you know, if you don't charge sales tax, you're undercutting Macy's, right?
Oh, okay.
And so you're really putting yourself in a bind. Eventually, the sales tax will catch up to you. And I don't recommend starting a business that way.
A shirt company, since they're under $110 per shirt, probably won't have to charge sales tax now, would they?
Well, if they have Brooks Brothers shirts and the shirts are
$240. Oh, they're Brooks Brothers shirts. Oh, out of the house, they're making Brooks Brothers shirts is what you're going with here.
Well, you never
really know. Honestly. Okay. That is a fantastic
entrepreneurial. What about a catering company? That's a good one. A catering company is supposed to charge sales tax for all the food they sell. Now, a lot of people start a catering company in their own kitchen. You can't say, oh, I'm a caterer and I'll sell it to you for $20 a plate and not charge you sales tax, because that's really undercutting the cost to your competitor, and you're not legally
paying. But aren't we just trying to get ahead here?
No, but don't be illegal. And don't get yourself jammed up.
I'm not saying be illegal, but...
Don't get yourself jammed up. So I don't think that's a good way to start a business, run a business, operate a business. If you want to be a real businessman, you have to operate like a business person.
Okay.
So I...
So when you talk to your accountant to set up the company and everything like that, you start... You talked to him about setting up for sales tax as well, so they put you on the right track, is what you're trying to say here.
Yeah, I think you should be put on the right track. You can't start with everything on the up and up, but you
can't.
It's impossible.
What are you talking
about?
Well,
what I mean is,
what kind of professional advice are you doling out in your office that you're saying you can't start out on the up and up?
What I'm talking about is you might not be able to rent an office right out of the bat, okay? You can't necessarily hire an employee. You might have to do your own stuff in the beginning, and you're going to work really hard, and you might not be able to afford an employee or whatever. You know, those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. You have to pay your sales tax.
Okay.
You must pay your sales tax.
You are special.
So
you are special.
We're going to end this part and take a little short break now, and we'll be back in a minute. Thanks.
Tell me who rock, who sell out in the stores. You tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels got pop, who mostly don't you down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, Mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on a blimp. Guarantee a million sales for the love of luck. You don't believe I'm all in world, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem with the Goldie sound. Can't no PhD, just hold me down. Cooler, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie. True pimp, spin no dough on the booty. Yeah, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. Joanne Flash Fleming and my non-invisible co-host today, Andrew Newman.
Where's this invisible co-hosting coming from?
All right, well...
I don't know. Please explain this to me before we get into the next segment here.
I was hoping that you were going to show up, and you did. Otherwise...
So why am I invisible? I'm here. I'm physically here.
I
got here on time.
Non-invisible, I called you. Non-invisible.
It's not like you were on the radio sitting here, where's my co-host? He's not here. He would be here if he was on time, but I was.
All right. We're going to read...
I apologize for being late, too.
Well, good. So we're going to read some emails today that I received during the week from clients and customers and people who just want information. And you can do that anytime. You could do it during the show while we're broadcasting, or you could do it during the week, and I'll be happy to read your question on the air, and you can tune in and listen for the answer. So Andrew's going to read the first question from Mr. Z.
Mr. Z. Okay. We would like to give a gift.
That's the wrong question.
That's the wrong question. Okay, we'll go to the next question. Okay. I've been meaning to ask you about a retirement account for Ms. Z. I think there are income limits for me to open some types of accounts. What can I open for her so I can get some more tax-free stuff going?
Well, Mr. Z, you'd have to know a little bit about Mr. Z in order to answer the question. The standard is he wants to get his wife some sort of IRA. She doesn't work. And so the standard is if you're under 50 years old, you could put away $5,000 a year in an IRA for a non-working spouse, even if the spouse is covered by a retirement plan at work.
Okay.
And this couple happens to be under 50. So the standard answer would be, yeah, you could put $5,000 away for her because he does have a retirement at work. However, in his case, I know that he makes a lot of money, just as a lot of people in New York City.
Congratulations, Mr. Z.
A lot of people in New York City make a lot of money. And there are income limits. So if anybody, a married couple who earns over $176,000 a year.
That's an odd number.
Well, they phase it every year. It changes. It used to be 165, and every year because the cost of living increases, they incrementally increase it. So she's not allowed to get an IRA.
Are they going to keep that the same level now since we're in this recession? And
the recession, but we're not inflating anymore.
We're not inflating.
But we're not deflating.
We're stagflating.
I don't know the answer.
That's stagflation, is it not?
Probably.
We'll have to check our textbook.
Well, you're an economics kind of guy.
I was an economics person.
Then you became a bookkeeper.
Yeah, no.
So the answer to Ms. Disease's question is ixnay on the $5,000 IRA.
So because
IRA,
he makes more than this $176,000 threshold,
yes,
he cannot actually invest for his wife.
He can't put an IRA, a deductible IRA for his wife.
Okay. How much benefit does a deductible IRA give you, pretty much?
Well, if you put away $5,000, you deduct $5,000. Depends on your tax bracket.
But if you're under $176,000?
Under $176,000. Suppose you're $150,000. If you live in New York City, that could be a tax savings of about 40%. So 40% of $5,000, you would save about $2,000 in taxes.
That's not bad.
No, it's pretty good. Okay. And you got an IRA account set up for you when you're
there
old.
We go.
Year after year after year after year, and you start at young enough age, you're going to have a pretty good IRA account for you when you're retired. And believe me, you better do something for yourself when you retire, because no one else is going to take care of you.
Wait, what about Social Security?
Yeah.
First?
Okay. Well, next we know
question,
how that goes.
Next question.
Yeah.
Okay, we have, I don't know who this is.
Mrs. A.
Mrs. A. Thank you, Mrs. A, for a question here. We would like to give a gift to our new grandchild and would like to make the best investment for her. I prefer to invest in something that she could cash in for college or to use someday toward a down payment on a house. My husband was thinking of a life insurance policy, but I don't want her to have to wait till she's old to use it. We were thinking of a $4,000 to $5,000 investment. What would you suggest?
Well, my first thought is a 529 plan. You know, that's a college fund for a kid. You put it away, and the parents get to deduct up to $10,000 a year.
But this is grandparents.
Yeah, I think they can deduct it, too.
So anyone can contribute to a 529, or you have to be a relative?
That's a good question. I don't think you have to be related. You have to put it away into the beneficiary's name.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
you just need their Social Security number, you're saying?
When you set up the account, you probably need their Social Security number. But yes, in New York State, you can deduct up to $10,000 for a 529 plan, regardless of how many people you're from. If they have 10 kids, they still can only deduct $10,000. So I think a 529 plan is a better plan, and that's used for tuition, which is exactly what Mrs. A wants to do.
That's very nice.
Now, Mr. A wants to go and buy a life insurance policy.
What's the benefit of a life
insurance
policy?
Well, you're talking to the wrong girl.
I was going
to
say.
She never wants to buy life insurance.
Don't you only get that when you die?
There's life policies where they actually invest it and it becomes a contract and it has a cash surrender value. I don't like insurance policies. I would not go to the butcher to get my dry cleaning done. Therefore, I don't go to an insurance company to do my investing. Okay? I think insurance companies are good for insurance policies, investments. You go to Merrill Lynch, you go to Smith Barney, you go to TD Ameritrade, you go to an investment house. That's my opinion. An insurance policy is not a good option in this scenario.
So could you just set up like a trust fund or a money market account or something like that instead? And
you could do set a custodial account.
Custodial
account. Custodial.
What if the kid just wants the money for the car when they turn 16 or something like that?
When you put it in their name and it's a custodial account, I don't think they have access without parents' permission.
Well, once they hit 18, I think that transitions right into that.
So the 529 is limited to use for
educational purposes.
Education.
Okay.
Correct. So the grandparents would be very happy with that.
Well, the grandmother apparently would be very happy about that. I don't know about grandpa.
So that's all the emails we got this week. Hopefully, you'll continue to send those emails in this week. And
hopefully,
we'll
Mr. A, Miss A, and Mr. Z were listening
and
got their answer.
A and Z?
Wow, that's crazy.
That was
we got both
weird.
Ends of the alphabet.
That was pretty
there.
Weird. So now I'm going to explain to my audience and my co-host. The next feature of our show is called The Creative Accountant. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a couple of Storymatic cards.
Plug it away, Joe.
Storymatic is a great little card game that helps you come up with creative stories. It's all fiction. So we're going to pick a couple of cards, and what it's going to do is we're going to tell a quick story based upon the cards we pull, and then we're going to have to put a financial component into this story.
Who's making up the story?
So Andrew and I
are numbers people. We're not creative people.
Andrew and I are going to tell a quick story, and then we're going to pick two cards for next week or three cards for next week, and you guys are going to submit your short stories. I'll be happy to tell your story next week, and we'll talk about the financial aspect of your story.
This is very interesting.
Yeah. So today we got three cards here. One, the character in this story is an extremely hairy person who happens to be a pet photographer.
What a fantastic life that person must have.
Wow, right? And his situation, or her situation, is there's a message chalked on the sidewalk
telling them to invest their money in a retirement plan, $5,000 a year.
But wait a second. What does it have to do with the hairy guy who's a photographer?
The poor hairy pet photographer doesn't make that much money a year.
No, that's your story.
Well, the pet photographer is hairy, so that can't be a very happy life.
Well,
what do you do,
maybe
taking pictures
maybe,
of pets?
Maybe at times when he goes to show up to take the photography, the people get confused if you're actually taking a picture of my pet or are we taking a picture of you, because you were all both very furry and hairy.
What the hell are you talking about?
Anyway,
he's the one taking the picture, not the...
Okay, so the message chalked on the sidewalk, what is that about?
I gave you my idea.
What is
to
that?
Invest in an IRA.
Well, I think that the message chalked on the sidewalk.
Oh, you want to come up with something new so they have to ask us new questions next week?
No, I think that the message chalked on the sidewalk is directions about where to go to take that picture.
What picture?
Of the pet.
What
the monkey. Pet? He's going to take a picture of a monkey, and when he gets to the
how
house,
is this financially?
When he gets to the house,
what's the financial stance on this?
The person who is hiring the photographer to take a picture of a monkey is confused which one's the monkey?
Okay.
Okay. So the financial aspect of this is: is she required to pay the photographer if he doesn't actually perform the service?
That sounds like a legal question.
Wait. She gave him a deposit. And she wants to cancel the session.
So wait,
the
crazy
session.
Hairy photographer saw the message chalked on the sidewalk.
The directions to her house.
Directions to the house. So he already knew? He already met this person, got the deposit.
Well,
she contacted him on the internet. Would she call him and say, this is how you get to my house? What is this, a spy pet photographer
okay,
story?
So that's how it goes. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pick two or three cards for next week. So submit your short story, and we'll be happy to talk about it, about the financial aspects. You want to read the choices for next week?
Oh, my God. Here we go. We got a small-town politician who is a visionary.
And his situation is?
Seriously?
Tell
what am I going to do with a box of matches?
Box of matches.
The visionary small-town politician with a box of matches.
Okay, we're going to put that up on the site in case you forget during the week what the next week's story-matic cards are. And we hope to hear from you, and we hope to have a little bit of fun.
So, Flash, can I ask you a question? How'd you hear about Heritage Radio?
Heritage Radio?
Yeah.
Oh, Heritage Radio. Well, I came to Roberta's, and I ate, and I heard about Heritage Radio. Okay. And I think the food here is great.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering.
And we're going to have to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to have a guest.
We're having a guest.
We're having a guest.
Already, week two.
Yep. And we're going to talk about mortgages.
With who?
Matt Foglia. He's going to tell us, you know, the banks are really jamming us with trying to get loans. And Matt's going to give us a little insight about how to really work your way around the mortgage process these days.
Okay.
Mortgage rates are extremely low, so I'm a big advocate right now of going to buy a house, because mortgage rates are so low. I've never seen them this low, and also prices are a little depressed. You probably can still get a good deal out there. I want to tell you guys that the music you're hearing at the top at the end of the show is wonderful music written by Ray Scrow.
Ray Scrow. Who's Ray Scrow?
Ray Scrow, my man, the music
man. Your man, the music
man. And finally, I want you guys to know, if you like what you hear here, talk about it. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tune in every week. Tune in anytime. I'm available now 24/7. It's like it's forever. It's all the time.
Oh, you finally got that. How are you available 24/7?
Because we're archived and we're available on podcast.
Oh, I thought they were able to get in contact with you
24/7. No.
Okay.
I don't have that psychic ability yet. So
can we give out your personal email here, Hair Flash?
No. You can always email info@heritageradionetwork.com. Any questions, any short stories, anything you want to talk about. And we'll be happy to see you next week. Signing off right now, guys.